Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Battle Merchant Podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen. And today we're getting really hands-on. We're building a LARP halberd together.
Exactly. One that's safe and looks genuinely impressive.
That's actually the crucial point with LARP weapons. On one hand, you want that immersion, that complete absorption into the game world. When you're standing as a castle guard holding a pole arm, it should feel real. But at the same time, nobody should get hurt.
That sounds like a contradiction at first. Realistic and safe. Can those go together?
Absolutely. A well-built LARP weapon can actually achieve both. It looks authentic, feels substantial in the hand, but the material, that's the trick.
Foam instead of steel.
Right, but not just carelessly glued together. If you're walking around a con with some wobbly pool noodle contraption, the immersion is gone instantly. You're standing there in your elaborate costume, maybe spent hours on makeup, and then you're holding, well, a children's toy. That destroys the whole magic.
The atmosphere can shift quickly.
Totally. And the opposite is just as problematic. A weapon that looks great but leaves bruises with every hit
gets banned by the game masters immediately.
Rightfully so. That's why today is about combining both. And the halberd is a perfect example project for this.
Historically, the halberd was one of the most versatile pole arms ever. It essentially combines axe, spear, and hook in a single weapon. In the late Middle Ages and early modern period, it was particularly effective against armored opponents. You could hack, thrust, even pull riders off their horses.
The multi-tool of the Middle Ages, so to speak.
You could call it that. And in LARP, it makes quite a visual impact. When you walk across the con grounds with a weapon like this, everyone's guaranteed to turn around.
That's true. My first self-built weapon was honestly a complete disaster. A sword that looked like a sad baguette with a handle.
Baguette sword. I remember that one.
The proportions were completely off. The paint peeled after the first rain. But that's exactly why I know today what really matters. The difference between a craft project and a proper LARP weapon lies in the planning and the details.
And with the halberd, there's also the issue that the length ratios
are super important. Shaft too short and the thing looks like a toy hatchet. Too long and you'll only hit your own teammates on the battlefield.
And that's exactly why we're going through step by step today how to do it right. From design planning to the finished product.
We'll talk about material selection, safety aspects, the actual assembly.
And at the end, also about painting. So the thing looks like real weathered steel and not like a basement craft project.
Safety, appearance, durability. The three pillars of a good LARP weapon.
If one of them is missing, the whole package doesn't work.
And the beautiful thing is, with the right techniques and some patience, you can achieve all three. It's really no rocket science. Anyone can learn this.
So, get comfortable.
And let's get started with our halberd.
So, let's take a closer look at what makes the halberd so special. Historically, it was a pretty effective and versatile pole arm, and for good reason.
You mean because of the combination of different functions?
Exactly. The halberd essentially combines three weapons in one. You have a thrusting blade at the front, like a spear, an axe blade on the side for powerful strikes, and often a hook or spike on the back. The Swiss used these in the late Middle Ages to bring entire armies of knights to their knees.
Against heavily armored cavalry?
They were actually the main target. With the hook, you could literally pull riders off their horses. And the back spike, that was specifically designed to pierce armor. Through the leverage of the long shaft, it could damage helmets or penetrate at weak points. The Swiss infantry achieved their greatest successes against Burgundian knightly armies around 1476 with their pike and halberd formations.
That also explains why it's so popular in LARP. You've got this imposing silhouette, the reach,
and the versatility in gameplay. Striking, parrying, and depending on the rule set, thrusting too. That makes it interesting from a gameplay perspective.
And visually, it simply makes quite an impression at the con. When you're standing there as a guard with a polearm like that, it has presence.
Absolutely. But let's get to the practical part. For our LARP version, we obviously need completely different materials than steel and ashwood.
The core of our halberd is a fiberglass or carbon fiber rod. This serves as the shaft and gives the whole construction stability. Fiberglass is light, stable enough for LARP use, and, very importantly, more shatter resistant than PVC. Core caps go on both ends.
And for the actual blades, meaning X, spike and...
foam. Closed cell foam is the standard here. It's firm enough to hold its shape, but soft enough that nobody gets hurt. There are different densities depending on how robust you want the weapon to be.
What do you look for when selecting?
The density is crucial. Too soft and the thing permanently deforms after the first hit. Too hard and safety suffers. For a halberd, I recommend medium density for the main form and then a softer layer on the outside as padding. Essentially a two-layer construction.
That sounds like more effort than a simple sword.
It is. Pole arms are more complex, but in return, you end up with a real statement piece. And the third important component is the adhesive. It needs to be strong enough that the bonds hold up even during intensive use.
Contact adhesive?
Or specialized foam adhesive. What's important is that it remains flexible and doesn't become brittle. Otherwise, after a few cons, the blades will come loose from the shaft.
Now, onto the topic of safety. Might sound obvious, but it's really the most critical point in the construction.
No sharp edges, no hard materials at the contact points. The core rod must never be directly exposed anywhere it could hit someone. The ends must also be padded, and core caps are essential to prevent the core from punching through.
Historical halberds often had a back spike that could damage armor. With ours...
everything must be designed so that there's only a dull impact at most. The tip, the X blade, any hooks, all thickly padded and rounded.
That's the fundamental difference from the historical weapon. That one was designed to inflict maximum damage. Ours is designed to avoid damage completely.
Oh, that's actually a beautiful thought. We take the design of a weapon that was meant to pierce armor and rebuild it so it doesn't hurt anyone, but still looks like it could.
Form without function, so to speak. At least without the original function.
And that's the real art in LARP weapon building. The balance between authentic appearance and absolute safety. Particularly challenging with a halberd because of all the components.
That's why the planning phase is so important. Before you start cutting and gluing, you should know exactly what the end product should look like, with all measurements and proportions.
Right, now it's getting practical. The very first step, and many beginners skip this, is planning. Before you even pick up the cutter, you should make a sketch.
A proper drawing?
Doesn't have to be a masterpiece, but you need a plan with all measurements. How long will the shaft be? How big is the blade head? What are the proportions between X, spike and hook?
Historical halberds had very different proportions depending on region and purpose. Broadly speaking, there were regional types, like the famous Sempach halberd, plus the distinction between the massive war halberd as a battlefield weapon and the lighter halberd as a ceremonial weapon. The variety was enormous, so it's best to find a specific historical reference.
And that's exactly what you can use for your design. Think about what fits your character. A city watch guard might need a sleeker, more elegant variant. A mercenary, something more brutal.
That's a good point. The weapon also tells a story.
Once you have your design, it's time for cutting. Saw the fiberglass rod to the right length, rough cut the foam blocks, cut out the individual blade parts, axe, thrusting blade, possibly the hook.
That sounds like a lot of cutting work.
It is, and precision is key here. If the parts don't fit together exactly, you'll have problems later when gluing. Better to measure twice than cut once wrong.
Although foam is pretty forgiving, you can correct a bit, right?
Small deviations, yes, but if the axe sits crooked on the shaft, the whole weapon looks off, and that's annoying every time you pick it up.
That sounds like experience talking.
Unfortunately. Okay, parts are cut, now comes assembly. And this is where most people make the biggest mistake.
Which is?
Impatience when gluing. The adhesive really needs to be completely dry before you continue working. Depending on the product, that can be several hours, sometimes overnight.
And if you're too early?
Then everything comes apart again during use. I've seen weapons where, after the first con, the blades were wobbling on the shaft. You don't want that.
So really respect the full drying time.
Absolutely. And apply the adhesive properly. Not too little, but not in puddles either. An even layer on both contact surfaces. Let it tack for a moment, then press together.
The contact adhesive principle.
Exactly that principle. Flexibility is crucial so the weapon can handle some bending in the heat of battle without the glue joints breaking.
Good. The structure is complete. Now comes the part that many are probably most excited about.
Painting! And here, actually I should say, first prime, then paint. The order is important.
Primer on foam?
A flexible coating seals the surface and ensures the paint adheres later. Without it, the foam absorbs everything and the result gets blotchy.
What paints do you use for the metal effect?
Important. First, apply a flexible coating, like latex or Plastidip. Then, work with flexible paints. Pure acrylics become brittle. For steel appearance, I start with a black or dark grey base. Several thin layers, finished with a flexible clear coat.
And how does it become metallic?
That's where the dry brushing technique comes in. You take a flat brush, dip it in silver or light grey paint, and then wipe almost all the paint off on a cloth.
Almost all of it?
Almost all. Then you stroke the nearly dry brush over the surface. The minimal remaining paint only catches on the raised areas, on the edges, the bumps. That automatically creates that metallic highlight effect.
That sounds elegant.
It is, when done right. The most common beginner mistake is too much paint on the brush. Then it gets clumpy instead of finely graduated. Better three thin passes than one too thick.
And the wood effect for the shaft?
Similar principle. Brown base, then suggest the grain with a lighter brown or ochre. Special techniques work well for this. Dabbing with a sponge or drawing lines with a fine brush.
The blog post did mention various brush sizes.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
Indispensable for fine details. Engravings, embellishments, small accents. You really need small brushes for those. And then at the end, let everything dry thoroughly before touching the weapon. Otherwise, you'll have fingerprints in the fresh paint.
That would be frustrating after all that work.
Very. So, patience while drying. that runs like a common thread through the whole process. But if you take that to heart, you'll end up with a halberd that truly impresses.
Now it's getting creative. The halberd is built and primed. But what design should it be? There are basically two directions, historically oriented or fantasy.
And both have their appeal. Let's start with the historical side. There are clear differences depending on the region.
Absolutely. Swiss halberds, for example, typically had a wide X blade and an elongated thrusting spike. The back hook was used to pierce armor plates. The famous Sempach halberds from around 1386 are good examples. Some can still be found today in Bern, Zürich or Solothurn.
And German variants?
They tended to be more angular, I'd say. More robust in overall appearance, very functional. They were produced in various places. Early traces can be found in Alsace, Strasbourg around 1260 and of course in Switzerland.
Italian halberds, on the other hand, if you look at the Milanese armor-making tradition, appear more elegant. Slimmer lines, more finesse in the details.
For LARP design, you can take these styles as a starting point and...
And then decide how far you want to deviate from them. If your character is a Swiss mercenary, you use the wide blade as a template. But if you're playing a fantasy guard from a fictional kingdom, you're completely free.
That's the appeal of LARP. You have the historical basis as inspiration, but no obligation to be authentic.
Exactly. And that opens up interesting possibilities. Take a necromancer character as an example. They wouldn't carry a classic halberd, but maybe one with a bone-like appearance, dark colors, perhaps curved blades reminiscent of sickles.
How far can fantasy go without the weapon becoming impractical?
That's the crucial question. The basic form must remain functional. You still need to be able to hold, swing, and use the weapon in combat. But within those limits, you can experiment a lot.
So decorations, yes, but not if they ruin the balance.
Right. A huge dragon head at the blade end might look cool, but if it makes the weapon top-heavy, it's annoying in use. Better to go with slimmer ornaments that don't change the weight.
What about unusual color schemes? Historically, steel was just steel-colored.
That's where fantasy gets exciting. Blue demon steel, green poison effect, black obsidian look. All possible. As long as the painting is well done, it looks convincing.
And then there's also the option with lights.
LED integration, for magical weapons or night cons. A subtle glow in the runes or on the blade. It's more elaborate, you have to pad everything softly, no hard parts at the contact surfaces, and check beforehand whether the con rules even allow it. But the effect is incredible.
That completely changes the character of the weapon.
Oh, yes. Imagine. You're standing by the campfire at night. Draw your halberd, and the blade glows faintly blue. That's immersion on another level.
What seems important to me, whether historical or fantasy, is the connection to the character. As we hinted at earlier, the weapon tells a story.
Absolutely. Did your character forge it themselves? Is it an heirloom? A war trophy? That influences the design. An inherited weapon might have intentional signs of wear, small imperfections that show history.
A captured weapon could have elements of a foreign culture, perhaps oriental patterns on an otherwise European form.
And that's the real creative freedom in building your own. You're not buying an off-the-shelf weapon, but creating exactly the piece that fits your story.
Use reference images for historical designs. Museum collections are accessible online. And for fantasy, look at concept art from games or films.
But in the end, it's your vision. Take your time sketching different designs before you start building. Then the halberd will be truly unique. So, your halberd is finished. But for it to last, it needs regular care. After every con, you should clean it thoroughly.
What does thoroughly mean for foam?
A soft cloth, lukewarm water, and possibly a mild cleaning agent. Use that to go over all surfaces and remove sweat, dust, grass stains, whatever accumulates during play.
No harsh chemicals, I assume.
Definitely not. Those can damage the foam or ruin the paint. Dish soap in small amounts is fine, but nothing with solvents or harsh ingredients.
This is actually an aspect that was historically relevant too. Real weapons needed just as much care. Blades had to be oiled, shafts inspected, leather wrappings renewed.
The difference is, we don't have to worry about rust. Instead, we have other enemies.
Such as?
UV radiation is the biggest. Direct sunlight causes colors to fade and makes the foam brittle over time. Therefore, always store dry, cool, and don't leave it in the window or in the car.
So don't display the halberd decoratively in a sunny window.
Exactly that. I once saw a sword that sat in the living room window for a year. One side was completely faded, the other still colorful. Looked like a strange color gradient.
Not quite the desired effect.
Indeed. And moisture is also critical. Mold can form in damp basements or the glue can come loose. Best stored hanging or lying flat in a dry room.
If something does break?
And that happens, it's normal with regular use, then quick action is needed. Small tears or detached spots can be repaired with the same adhesive you used during construction.
Let it dry completely before the next use.
Absolutely. And with a pole arm like the halberd, there are typical wear points. The connection between head and shaft, the edges of the axe blade, the tip. It's worth checking those regularly.
And for major damage?
Then you may need to replace parts completely. That's why it makes sense to keep spare materials on hand. A piece of foam, adhesive, the matching paints. Then you can react quickly at a con if something happens.
This actually brings us to the end. We've now covered the complete journey, from the first sketch to the finished, well-maintained halberd.
And the most important thing is, just go for it. Your first self-built weapon might not be perfect,
but it will be yours.
Exactly. With every project, you learn more. And the beautiful thing about the community is that people share their experiences. Show your creations, get feedback, let yourself be inspired.
That's actually the heart of it all. It's not about perfection on the first try. It's about creating something with your own hands that fits your character and your story.
And then, standing at a con with this weapon and knowing, I built this myself.
A great feeling. If you're looking for more inspiration, battlemerchant.com has not only materials, but also lots of other exciting topics about history, LARP, and reenactment on their blog.
Feel free to check it out. And now, get to the workbench.
Until next time.
Bye.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your sword sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.